Hello everyone, welcome to edition 256 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. Hello there. It is dark. It is November. Winter is closing in. Christmas will be here soon. And the Formula One season will be over. Of course, for many, it already is. We are sat at the delightful Rushcutters Public House on the outskirts of Norwich, where Graham Hill and Colin Chapman once shared a pint. Iconic Formula One public house we are in. We are going out on Future Radio, hopefully, as well as across all our podcast channels, wherever you're listening to. Thank you for your time and support. And in our eighth season, we are here to review the 2019 US Grand Prix, or in other words, Lewis Hamilton's crowning glory for a sixth time. It's just greedy, really, isn't it? I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. Hello there. I'm also, I work at The Athletic. You might as well know that now. I work at The Athletic. I'm a sports journalist. I'm Michael Bailey, and I'm still in Norwich, so that's exciting. Hello there. And on tonight's podcast, we have Norfolk's own Italian, Alessandro Essafumagalli, of course, Alex to us.
Ciao.
And another McLaren fan, it's a fair cop for Nathan the Tuckster Tuck.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thank you, Nathan. It's a while since I've done those intros, so I had to remind myself of exactly what they were. You are still a cop. I've got that right. You're still a policeman.
Yeah, you've got that spot good. On. Yeah, yeah.
Is it going well?
Last week wasn't so great, but that's another story. But yeah, it's going okay.
I feel like we should set up another podcast to address Nathan's work. Alex, how are you? What have you been up to?
I'm doing good. It's been a lot of football, starting doing coaching as well, so busy. I don't have a weekend for myself anymore. It's either misses or football, so but it's good. All good stuff.
Well, what more could you want is the answer to that, Alex. And wedding plans for next year are in full flow. We're going. It's going to be held basically at Monza.
Yes, basically, yeah. It's very close, yeah, very close to Monza, and then we go up to be in the mountains for a dinner. Yeah,
cannot wait. I'm going to have to stop
book
in at Monza
as well. I booked the honeymoon.
Where are you going on the honeymoon?
San Lucia in the Caribbean.
It's not a Grand Prix there.
No. It's far from close to anyway.
Well, I bet it sounds beautiful, St. Lucia.
Fantastic. I've never been, but no. It's one of those places on the list, isn't it?
Yeah,
along with everywhere else. Brilliant. So, thank you guys for joining us. Thank you all for listening. Just to bring you up to speed with the order of things, if you are listening to us on Patreon, hello there. Thanks for your continued support. You will be getting the full podcast with everything we are recording tonight. It will all be here for you. It's all on its way. It's all ad-free. Enjoy it. If you are listening to us on Audio Boom or on any of the other free services, hello. Thanks very much again for your time. You'll be listening to an abridged version. I'm sure it'll be perfectly formed for you. If you do want to listen to the full fat version, get yourself over to Patreon. Have a look at how you can follow and listen to our podcast in full. The address there is Patreon, patreon.com/NRF1. Right, let's head straight into the chat, shall we? It was, of course, the USA Grand Prix round 19 of 21. I think I've got that right.
I think, yeah. Just have two more, Brazil and Abu Dhabi.
And we now know that from 2021, there's going to be a maximum of 25 races a season, but we will get into that. We will come on to the 2021 regulation chat later on for a brief moment. But before we really tuck into what happened in the US, we do need to reflect on its primary outcome, which was a sixth world title for Lewis Hamilton, his third on the trot. Mercedes become the first constructor in history to win double world championships for, what was it, for six times. Mental. We addressed a lot of what Mercedes have done in the last podcast 255. So this is all about Lewis Hamilton, isn't it? A legend in our own lifetime. Does he really get the credit he deserves at this point? Or is, I think I saw Jake Humphrey say, Norfolk's own Jake Humphrey, that we only don't fully appreciate Lewis Hamilton, or whoever doesn't fully appreciate him, it's because he's still going now and they'll have to wait for him to stop, which doesn't sound like it's going to happen anytime soon.
No, he said he's in full form. He just literally straight after the race said he's never been in form like now. People are good to be haters, I would say, and they just appreciate
it. It's very easy.
Yeah, it's just very easy. Yeah, just very easy to, you know, complain and just say, oh, it's not, you know, it's nothing. But then when people either pass or just get off the sport and just start to think, oh, maybe it was good. You know, it's such a shame because it's, apart from him, yeah, there's now Michael Schumacher, he's got 7, and after that, there is no one else. And he's at least, I would say, 5 more years to go.
Is it a typically British thing that we just don't like to celebrate success of one of our own? You know, it's that you can look at any number of other sports as well, and people just get, particularly in the modern social media age, they just get hassle for being brilliant. And there's no doubt Lewis Hamilton is brilliant. He's absolutely at the top of his game. In any generation, I would say, he would be right up there.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, I mean, Lewis gets a lot of stick, but it generally seems to be for stuff he says or does that isn't on a racetrack or in a car. And I have to say, I don't really care a lot of the time. Like, yeah, you know, and I think I said this on the last podcast, we all get stuck in our own hypocrisies and on what we're doing and all this sort of stuff. But in terms of Lewis and how genuine he seems on a racetrack, he genuinely loves the sport, he genuinely seems to do a lot for the sport. I mean, we'd be fairly screwed without him, I think, for despite the fact that it's domination. He does it in a brilliant style. He doesn't make many mistakes. He's incredibly good at overtaking in his racecraft. And what we saw, rather fittingly, I guess, this weekend was that he bent the strategy in his own favour against the team to improve his own chances. I mean, sometimes that doesn't work out, but you know, he gets it, doesn't he? He gets what he's doing, and it's so lovely seeing him do that. And then you see the clips of him as an 8-year-old saying, "I'm going to ring Ron Dennis in 9 years or whichever," and all that sort of stuff is just, it paints a picture of someone who loves the sport and loves the job, which again kind of intimates with the hunger he's got that he won't stop soon. It's just a lovely tale.
Absolutely. There's so much footage of him as a kid and karting and all that kind of stuff, and like you said, I think you're right there. He gets criticised for things that are nothing to do with racing, like what clothes he's wearing or whether he's making music in his spare time, and people laugh at that, and yet no one's ever heard any of his music. So why, you know, there we go. You know, look, he might be brilliant, but, you know, no one gives it a chance. And if he writes a comment about, I noticed he put one out the other day, I think it was yesterday, about, you know, everyone's got problems going on in their lives of one shape or another, and it's how we deal with them, and, you know, sort of inspirational, motivational type stuff. People knock him for that. And
what do you know about problems?
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly it, isn't it? And, you know, what, he's just trying to do the right thing. Whenever I see him interviewed, like I saw him on Jonathan Ross a while back, and thought he was great. He came across really, really well.
He doesn't brag, yeah. I agree with you. He's not one that brags, you know, I got money, I got this, I got that. He's enjoying his life. He's doing what he thinks is good. And as we said earlier, people are just, it's too easy for people just to disagree and, you know, comment on stuff. And he's not just British, as you said earlier, he's Italian as well. Or probably everywhere in the world as well. It's just if someone gets more famous than you, or does something better than you, then they all just go straight against him or her, depending which way you look at. And it's sometimes it's just so naive and so silly. But you know, people like that, it's so good. He just deserves everything. Yes, as Michael said, he bends the rules in his favor. But after he won 5 or 6 championships, come on, I would say, yeah, like, you know, he knows something, he knows what he's doing. Yes, if he doesn't work for him, he's still, you know, he's still 5-time or 6-time world champion. So I think he can do it. He's someone that can do it, not like someone else. But
build them up to knock them down, I think, is generally what happens. I think the bit that really got me, and it might have been in his conversation with Ted Kravitz, whose notebook was very good, by the way, after the US Grand Prix, is the hunger and the you know, to perform at that level and to keep succeeding. I appreciate, you know, the car you have is a big part of it as well, but to keep having that hunger and to keep beating people, because again, Lewis qualified 5th, but it was only within, everyone was in half a second, I think, when they top 7 were in half a second. So we're talking about the finest of margins. So to have that desire to just go that extra 10th or whichever, having won 5 world championships, to go against the doubts of, all, Max is coming up, he's really good, have I still got it, am I still as hungry as him? I'm not sure, because he's really hungry. And to battle through all that and still deliver, I think, is probably the most impressive part of this success. And it does kind of beg the question, what do we expect from Lewis from here on in? Because we can all sit there and go, well, he'll do this, do that. Like I said, oh, he's got five more years in him, probably win three more world champions. You know, but we can just rattle it off like that. But then the amount of effort that that will take, say, through the winter for him to go, I've got to try and win number seven, you know, and just turning all that sort of stuff. I mean, and again, we've got big rule changes coming up in 2021. So I guess that gives Mercedes at least one more season of domination. But what do we reckon?
Yeah, I think that when you look at what he can achieve, I think there's a great comparison in MotoGP with Valentino Rossi as someone who still has that hunger and that desire at the age of over 40 now and is still hellishly fast. You know, and that I think we overlook the fact that the reason these people are in the position they're in is because they are so good. They do things that us mere mortals, if you know, we just couldn't do. And that's why he gets paid a huge amount of money. That's why he's driving the best car, because he is the best at this time.
Yeah, I fully agree. I like the comparison with Valentino Rossi as well, by the way. I'm a big fan, like my favorite Lando Norris. Yeah, I mean, I watched today the after Grand Prix, the post Grand Prix with Baxter. Buxton, what is it?
Oh yeah, Will Buxton.
Will Buxton, yeah.
I thought you meant Richard Baxton.
No, Buxton, yeah. And Richard just said something very smart, you know, you can have the best car, you can have the best team behind you, but you need to keep a constant level of fitness and mental strength to go through six championships like that. It's not easy. Even though if you have the fastest car, which Ferrari, I think this year, could have had, he didn't have the drivers with the mental strength or the mental ability to do what Hamilton did. It's hard. It's not easy. And hopefully with the new regulations as well, he can still deliver, or Mercedes can help him to deliver.
It's going to be fascinating. I mean, let's not forget that Valtteri Bottas also had the best team and best car. and that was what he delivered. That said, that does bring us on nicely to the fact that Valtteri Bottas won the US Grand Prix. And he got there in the end, I suppose, is the way it feels, which always feels a bit like that with Valtteri. I mean, it's obviously well timed that he's showing good form now. Not going to convince me that he's going to be any more consistent next year necessarily, although it will be interesting. We know what eventually happened with Nico Rosberg and how Mercedes will play it, because obviously they changed things up really for Nico, didn't they? And it worked well for Nico's season when he did win the world championship. Are we any more convinced of the fact that Valtteri is having a good good finish to the season, shall we say, and what he can do next year?
He's a good teammate, I would say. They have much better relationship than Nico and Lewis. You can see that after the race or before the race, you know, they talk, they're next to each other. It's not, you know, they don't have issues between themselves. And Bottas knows, you know, this year again, Lewis was the fastest. I made some mistakes. He said himself, I made mistakes and Lewis didn't. You know what? There's not much you can do about it. And I hope for him that he can achieve a little bit. Because to be fair, if Lewis wasn't finishing the race, the championship was still open for Bottas. So yeah, he didn't deliver as much. He still have won seven races, which is not a bad achievement for Lewis.
His best season as well.
Yeah, his best season so far. So I'm expecting from him next year to do something much better than this year. Probably not winning a championship, but who knows?
I mean, what you said there about him being a good teammate is probably why he'll never beat Lewis, to be honest. Because you know, the fact that Nico, I'm going to actually say something nice and positive about Nico here, but the fact that he did almost went against this idea that they were really good friends, because he did really compete. That almost pushed Mercedes probably to make the changes that they did, because they had to do something to keep Nico sweet, I suppose, in a way. So I just wonder if Valtteri has it in him to really... I did clock the fact that Valtteri did seem genuinely disappointed when they did the post-race interviews right after the race, that he hadn't won the world... I've failed in my objective because Lewis has won the world championship. And I was sitting there thinking he was delighted when he won the race, and I was sort of thinking he'll be fine. He'll be like, oh, Lewis has done a brilliant job, I can't complain. And he was just sort of like, well, yeah, I sort of failed really because I didn't win the world championship. And I was almost caught out by the fact that he was that disappointed. I'd almost just sort of written him off. And it's like, well, why would that have been your objective? Because you're coming up against Lewis. So maybe I'm underestimating him a bit.
Well, I don't think you get into that position, do you, without being to have that winning mentality. To get any one of those Formula One seats in any team is a huge achievement when you consider the number of people that want them. So to then get into the number two seat, if you want to call it that, in the best team is a massive thing. And if I try and imagine what that must be like, if I was in that position, I'm thinking, I have the best car underneath me here, so this is down to me now. Just I mean, I know you get your rub of the green and a bit of luck and things go for you and against you in the season, but I would be thinking, I have the best opportunity that I could possibly have in the world, in any of these teams, to win the Formula One World Championship. And yet I'm up against this guy who is, you know, the supreme champion. And with Lewis being so, you know, them getting on together, I think it's probably easier to get on with someone that isn't as good as you, if you're Lewis Hamilton, do you know what I mean? And in terms of who they could put next to him to be on a level with him, you know, those people aren't available. They're just too expensive, and even for a team like Mercedes to try and get a Vettel or you know, or a Leclerc even now is sort of even eclipsing Vettel. So
that would be great. Leclerc and Mercedes, that would be good.
Then I
like that. Yeah,
he's the up and coming man for me. But yeah. Or Max, you know, you're going to struggle to get Max.
I don't think
into that.
With Toto and Max, I think they will kill each other.
Yeah, they probably would. But if you imagine them in whatever team, but in the same car, that I think they would bang heads considerably. Just Lewis and Max.
Yeah, yeah, it would be like Nico Rosberg 2.0. Yeah, and
I think it'd be worse.
Probably as well. Has matured a lot, Max Verstappen, in the recent, you know, and especially in the past year, his maturity level had gone up and up. He knows when he makes a mistake, and yes, in the moment, rush the moment, everyone would react the same, I would say. Mm. You know, I see people react worse in football, to be fair, if I have to be honest. But yeah, it's hard. It would be interesting to put them together, but at the same time, hard to watch. And let's not forget that going back on Bottas, he clinched the second position, and again, he helped the team win in the Constructor Championship. So I think, all in all, he's done a great job, I would say, better than last year.
It's very interesting, the balance between being a really good driver but not quite as good as your teammate, I think, and it's probably history's shown when you have two drivers who are too closely matched at a really good team, it kind of penalises both drivers,
like
in a
Senna
way.
And Prost,
exactly,
for
yeah.
example.
Or
would
when
be
Lewis was at McLaren with Fernando, it just didn't work, did it? Because there was almost too much friction and a battle over the team. So there you go. I'm almost backing up having a number two driver there, which I don't think I've ever done before. But there we go. Lewis has changed my mind. So obviously, let's just say a huge congratulations to Lewis Hamilton on a phenomenal season that probably didn't deliver the competition we wanted. But I don't think any of us would for one moment disrespect what Lewis Hamilton is achieving in the sport. It is quite phenomenal. And certainly from my point of view, I cannot wait to see what he goes on to achieve from here.
Still rise.
All right, well, now I didn't
cheesy.
Like that.
Yeah.
Still we rise like a loaf of bread.
Oh yes.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers. If you are listening on your free feed, you will have just missed the NRF1 pit stops and our race rating and of the weekend awards. So you can catch those over at Patreon if you would like to, in the full version of the podcast. Next up, of course, is the penultimate race of the season, which is Brazil, isn't it? Because we always finish in Abu Dhabi now. So
Rio de Janeiro.
São Paulo. Yeah. Different city.
You're right.
You're cut very off. Agreeable. No, that's cut staying off. In, Alex. Oh, sorry, that's staying in. If we can have Rich's Italian national anthem to the theme of Italian food, we can have you getting your Brazilian cities matched up. That's fine, Alex. Normally, that's the sort of thing I would do, so no worries there. We'll get into some predictions in a moment, but we should just touch on the 2021. Confirmation of the agreed rules and regulations that have come on will come into effect in 2 years' time. They will also also be changed and improved, but at least there is a framework there. The interesting thing from Ross Brawn is that these are FIA regulations. They are there. This is not about the teams muddling it all through. These are the regulations of the sport. So thank goodness someone's actually taking hold of it and seems to have passed without, well, probably people being unhappy, but not without people really getting in the way of them. And I think that's really important. We looks like we have someone now running the sport. Also, it means that the teams know where they are. Things we knew about, ground effects in terms of aerodynamics of the cars, all designed to let the cars get closer. The cars are probably going to be slower, but obviously the aim is to make overtaking easier. I'm sure we'll see loads of loopholes. There will be a few more standardized parts. It will be harder to update the cars throughout the season and certainly use FP1 as testing, which is all very interesting. There won't be a Thursday, a race weekend. So it will only be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday affair, which really only affects a bit of fans' access and press conferences, to be honest. I don't think that's too much of a change, and that seems to make sense going forwards. And a budget cap, $175 million, I think, which affects everything apart from marketing budgets. So expect to see a lot of testing done in marketing budgets. and the driver's salaries and sort of three key personnel. But all in all, it's obviously a big increase from $40 million, which is what Max Mosley suggested several years ago. But at least we've got a budget cap and it hasn't been entirely vetoed. So, given Mercedes have obviously had a big budget and made it pay, is this good news for Formula One, all these changes? Are we happy with them? Happy to see what they're bringing in?
I think yes. I would have put also the qualifying different, but...
Which got vetoed by two teams, didn't it? So yeah, there was like reverse grids and all sorts.
And that would be very, very interesting, I think. I hope so.
I speak as someone who still quite liked the ongoing elimination of teams and no one else liked
I like that, but if you can combine the two together somehow, that would be just the next level shit that people would want to watch.
Exactly.
Because at the moment I'm trying to get people to watch Formula 1, but they watch one race and then they get bored. Or if they watch the race, like a friend of mine watch the race where Vettel dropped out, moved the number one to his car, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the race out, so I want to watch again. And he was so bored after in that race, in the second race, because nothing happened. Yeah. And it's just, you know, just you need to put something in to make people want to watch it.
Do you though? I don't know. I don't know if I have much time for those people. Sorry, your friends.
I fully agree with you. Either you love it or you hate the sport. But I like to something different. It's been like this for how many years now?
Oh, a long time. Far too long. Anything that can be done to make it more exciting for me.
Yes.
And, you know, you think back to the halcyon days of like the 80s and early 90s. It was great. I mean, that I say...
Was it, though? This is the thing, it wasn't nostalgic.
Yeah.
Was it not team massive gaps and teams being lapped 28 times and no one finishing? Yeah. I don't know, and like points for top six. I mean, I remember loving Formula One when I was younger, but I don't know why. Was it because I was younger?
Well, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not ruining your point.
No, but that's probably a thing, isn't it? Definitely. And, you know, if you think back to those times when I'm particularly thinking when Nigel Mansell was racing for Williams is when it kind of like gripped me, and he's battling with Senna and it's all for me it was very exciting at that point because they're going wheel to wheel and they're overtaking and it's close and I don't know. I mean they've tried to bring in DRS to make overtaking a possibility and they've had to do that because the aerodynamics were so poor otherwise. So I wouldn't go to Bernie Eccleston's crazy ideas about like flooding corners of the track with water to make it a bit more exciting. That's going a bit too far. But anything that can try and make it a bit closer racing. I know Mercedes won't like that, and neither will Ferrari. They will be most concerned about it. But everybody else will think, ooh, how can we make this work for us? And the cleverest people in those other teams will be the ones who profit from it.
Yeah. Let's not forget, obviously, with the new car as well, that would help the cars reaching close to each other. Hopefully that will help a lot as well for people watching the races, because at the moment you see Bottas or Verstappen getting very close to the car and then they had to pull out because, you know, they're ruining the tires or just overheating the car. You know, I want to see it just get close, just stuck up behind and just race from there on. That's what I want to say.
Going back to MotoGP, that's why MotoGP is so good.
Yeah,
it's so exciting because there's so much overtaking, and that's everything.
Oh yeah, you can be sure like Valentino Rossi last race, or sorry, not the one just happened, the one before, he was first, and two laps after was seventh or sixth. There's just so much can happen in one lap. Obviously, they're much smaller than a car, but
yeah,
it's still the effect that gives to people.
Mm. All about the show. Okay, well, let's wrap up. I personally am really looking forward to it. We've got a whole season, of course, before they all come in, but it's going to be fascinating how it all pans out. And if you're more interested in what the actual changes are, go and check out, the Formula One website. Sky Sports had a nice wrap up on it as well, and of course, Autosport 2. All the usual channels, you'll be able to find out full breakdowns of how things are actually going to change for 2021. But we've got to get through 2019, first of all, never mind 2020 and 2021. We've got two more races to go. We've got the Brazilian Grand Prix coming up. Is this the last time we're off to Sao Paulo? Is it on next year's calendar? Can anyone remember? Go on, Alex, can you check? I love Interlagos, but it is in serious danger of dropping off if it isn't already scrubbed off. And Alex is going to work nice and quick.
Yeah, yeah, it's an iconic track, isn't it? It's always been a fixture, so... be interesting to see when Alex can find it for us.
And the changeable conditions as well, that's always been a thing. And I don't know, who knows, Nico Hülkenberg might get his podium this year, because that was one of the places where he got closest to securing it.
So Melbourne, Bahrain, Vietnam, Hanoi on the 5th of April, straight away, that's nice. Then we have China,
oh yeah, Netherlands,
Netherlands Andor, the second new one, Spain, Monaco, Baku, Canada, France, still there, I don't like it. Austria.
No Germany.
No Germany, no. Italy has two stars, why? I don't know. Singapore, Russia, Japan, United States, Mexico. Brazil, Abu Dhabi, yeah. Oh, subject to contractor signature, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, Italy's so been, it's not been signed. Italy hasn't been signed off yet.
No, Italy's
yet,
been confirmed. This probably is an old update. But
so we are going to Brazil, but yes. I guess... I'm maybe it's 2021. I'm sure it's one of the ones that's in doubt, and may well be when the race comes in Miami, if they can get that one through, that it comes off. But it's one of the ones I love, so I would always hope that it's one of the ones that sticks on the calendar. And I think we've even had that discussion in the past about which races we would definitely like to stick. Obviously, all the titles are now decided. What will be keeping your attention over the race at Interlagos? I guess you probably touched on what will be on your mind.
I think it's now best of the rest, isn't it? Who's going to get the fourth and fifth spot?
Yeah, I think there is a good battle between Racing Point and is it Renault? I think
McLaren are ahead of Renault, and then are Renault, is it Racing Point next?
Yeah, Renault and Racing Point. Yeah, they are kind of close, or Racing Point to Rosso, just 1 point dividing them, so that would be a good...
The midfield is where it's all
this
interesting now, isn't it?
5th, 6th, 7th, two races, everything can change realistically.
Mm. How about with the driver standings, because there's some nice battles I reckon in there further down, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, again, 6th, 7th, 8th, Albon, Sainz and Gasly from 77 points to 84 points, anything can really happen again.
5 points between Max and Seb, and then only Charles pretty decent, looking pretty decent in third, isn't he?
Yeah. To be fair, two races again, Max could overtake Leclerc, I think, if something goes his way and Leclerc goes off.
That would be something if Charles finished third, wouldn't it? Because bear in mind, there are some races there that he should have got better points than he ended up with as well. You wouldn't say Max really had any missed opportunities per se. Max was pretty good at taking his. Seb's obviously had a really difficult year. That would sort of underline what a huge talent Charles is.
Absolutely, and Seb has kind of been a little put in the shade by Charles Leclerc. Definitely. It's a great debut season for him at Ferrari.
Indeed, what a star. Well, there you go. If that doesn't keep your interest, I don't know what will. So there we go. And of course, Lewis will probably turn up drunk. he won't. That is probably the last thing he'll do. There we go. That's brilliant. Now, Prediction League, we are ticking on. The good news is all the All the predictions are there. I'm working away, and come the end of the final race in Abu Dhabi, we'll be able to wrap up, or if not that, certainly our end of season podcast, we'll wrap up all of the prizes for our prediction league. Just to recall, the only rules are they need to be submitted by FP1, ideally submitted on the Patreon app or website, please. And a heads up here to Darren Johnson and Nick Holder, who have done a phenomenal job, given it's been a quite a patchy season on our part. Apologies again. They have relentlessly continued predicting. It's just been, I'm so impressive. So Nick, Darren, you are absolute stars. Well done. Keep them coming, because you've only got two more races. Yeah, exactly. Well said. So do that. We will confirm them all by the end of the season. If you are a paid up member on Patreon, then you are in with a chance of winning a £5 gift voucher, or credit, I should say, to motorsport-merchandise.com or the Classic Team Lotus online store. That is for the best prediction total after each Grand Prix weekend. I will confirm who won each Grand Prix weekend come the end of the season, and we'll tot up who we owe what to and sort the logistics of that over the winter. So again, the rules are you've got a maximum of 5 predictions you can make, and they need to be in before the start of FP1. You guys can go for Brazil if you would like. Alex, have you got a handle on what you'd like to predict?
Yeah, Ferrari asked for the podium for the race because it's not their track realistically. Lando classic top 5, and one more shall I do? Yeah, Kubica to do better than Russell.
Big shout.
Wild shout. Some would say.
Completely out of keeping with everything else.
Yeah, you sounded really sensible tonight up to that point.
How about you, Nathan?
I will go for Lando to out-qualify Carlos. Mm-hmm. To take it to the kind of final races to see who wins that particular little battle.
Love it.
And I think Lewis will win. And I think that Valtteri will come second.
Oh,
another 1-2.
Shout. I think Valtteri might win again. I don't know. I've changed my mind 3 times in those 30 seconds, but I think we'll have Valtteri will win. I think Charles Leclerc will extend his lead in third in the Drivers' Championship. How many points is it at the moment, Alex? Have you got it to hand? The Drivers' Standings. So currently Charles is 249 to 235, so 14 points ahead of Max in third. So there we go. I'm assuming he'll extend that slightly, which will be good, and cement his third place and give us one less thing to worry about going into Abu Dhabi. And then I reckon, I'm afraid that Renault will score more points than McLaren. Sorry, Nathan. And let's say that Alex Albon will finish outside the top 5, probably because he'll have to do another recovery drive because he has to seemingly have to do a few of those as well as he's been racing. I don't know how many that is, but I think that's going to be it. And I think we're done for the podcast, both on your free feeds and of course patreon.com/nrf1. A big thank you to the Rush Cutters as always for their hospitality. What a star they are. Thank you to Future Radio. Thank you to the guys tonight. Thanks to you, Alex.
Thank you very much, and ciao.
Cheers, Nathan.
Thank you very much. Always good to be here.
Yeah, absolute stars. Thanks for joining us. Thank you to you guys and girls for listening. We always appreciate your support. We will be back with EP257, I think it is, after Brazil. And then, of course, there is only one more race to go, the season finale at Abu Dhabi, and we'll be back after that as well as a season review podcast before our year is done. Just a reminder, we tend to have the winter off, so you won't be hearing from us, keeping you abreast of all the F1 news. If you want to do that, follow the other news outlets and podcasts. We're going to have a winter off, and we'll be back on the other side, but we've of course got to round off this season first, which we will look forward to doing with you. Enjoy it, because the winter is a long time, so make the most of it. Let's hope we get a cracking race in Brazil, as you know all too often we do, so I can't wait. In the meantime, thank you all so much. We'll see you on the other side of Interlagos. Good night.